Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is Saturday, May 28th, 2010 at 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. Welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And I'd like to give an especially warm welcome to the leader of this teaching who's with us every week. And that is Sri Khadavji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master. Sri Khadavji, how are you?
I'm fine, Leslie. And remember, it's the Leslie Arnold Show, too. So I'll mention that. I'll announce it's the Leslie Arnold Show. And you're Leslie Arnold.
That's true, if anybody was wondering.
We forget
so I apologize for not identifying myself. I do. Okay, well, I apologize to one and all for forgetting to do that. So this is Leslie Arnold hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. And this is a very ancient teaching, and it is the oldest of all teachings. And Sri Khadavji, as I mentioned, is the Mahaji and the 973rd Living Sarosha Master in a line of unbroken masters. So if I might ask you from the beginning, what does that mean? I don't mean to be insulting or rude, but perhaps some people aren't aware what it means to be a spiritual master or what particularly it means to be the living Sarosha Master, who's the leader of this teaching. And would you mind talking about that a little bit, Sri Khadavji?
Yes, you can start with advanced questions, you know, very advanced questions, which is just fine because really we're talking about a very significant state of consciousness that people go through in their daily lives, and that's what really troubles them because they don't have a teaching or a competent teacher to explain the issues about life or their essence and these sorts of things. So the Living Sarosha Master is the highest state of consciousness and actually the first representative of the supreme deity that we call the Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R. It doesn't mean he's a messiah or some kind of hero or something like that. It's just the science of a state of consciousness and that human beings have a state of consciousness. So what do we do with that? What does that mean? All right, the esoteric teaching of ACOTA, the ancient science of Sahaji, and Sahaji means out-of-body experience or movement of this inner self that's separated from the physical body. It's the state of consciousness that I'm talking about. All right, so the Living Sarosha Master is his highest state of consciousness, and then he teaches that to anybody who's ready enough to comprehend what he's trying to say. That's why each week we try to make it as simple as possible, but it can be very complex. Therefore, the masters have, down to the ages, have simplified the method in certain cultures and history so that they can get it through to that, as I said a minute ago, the ready soul, that soul that has the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and then it's not a riddle to them because that's an ancient riddle that it is for those who have the eyes and ears to be able to get the secret, see. Excuse me. Because ACOTA is a secret, even when it's public, because it's going to be, it's the 99 out of 100 are not going to be able to get it. They're not going to be able to comprehend it because they're not really supposed to. The maximum we can get in terms of population area, like one concentrated population, would be about 10% of the population. That's an ambitious thing to say, especially since we only have about 3,000 members and there's about 75 million ready souls, all right? But we're not really out there being pitchmen or trying to sell anything because the membership is free, our books are free, everything is free. We don't charge any money. We don't ask for contributions and donations. I reviewed the tape last week and it sounded like I didn't qualify that enough. Again, we do not take any money for any reason whatsoever. Therefore, our message remains pure in a marketplace that breeds the salesmanship and everybody's got their hand out, you see. which I don't begrudge that, but we're not involved with that. So we're not, therefore, excuse me, no one can make an issue about we're trying to make a living by selling Akita. No, nobody can make an issue with that. We don't have to rationalize taking money. Well, all of the spiritual teachings that are out there have to make some kind of rationale for charging money. We don't need to do that. You see what I mean? I'm not in a comparison mode or competing with them in any way, shape, or form, but I'm very happy that no one can actually think about the fact of a money issue with our teaching. There's no issue with that. Therefore, people can relax about you and I here being salesmen. So we can relax about that. We can listen to the purport that we're trying to emphasize in the basic fundamentals of the teaching of Akita, which is to give spiritual liberation, and that's the prime objective, as I said, that ready soul that can hear the message that we portray and then step onto the path and eliminate their karma immediately and start traveling a dharma path, which means a karmaless life. In other words, when one becomes a member of Akita, right away their karma ceases. The karma ceases to be created, and then they're leading a dharma path. And that means a karmaless life, and they work out their karma within this lifetime and become a spiritual master either in this lifetime or the next one. That's a guarantee if someone stays as a member. So that means that anybody that's not on the path of Akita is creating karma. I don't care what teaching you're involved with, you're creating karma. Because we consider Akita the highest path, the only path to God, which is an audacious statement that turns people off, but I can't help that. It's just the facts and the matter. I've been involved with this for over 45 years, and it's worked extremely well for me in the face of all the negativity that the negative overlord, Counter Engine, who's the in charge of the lower world, as we call it. We have the first four planes that we negotiate through in Sahaji. We travel through those lower planes. And then we get to the fifth plane, which is the first major goal in Akita, which is self-realization. And then once we get there, we gain this confidence, the confidence in spirit, of getting the ability to identify properly with the spiritual essence. It's an experience of identity and not just talk. In other words, we explain it, but I explain it from a self-realization level, and so does Leslie, because we're both spiritual masters who have gone through the three goals in Akita of self-realization, God-realization on the eighth plane, and spiritual mastery on the tenth plane. So we've gone through those experiences. So when we talk, our connectivity will, that ready soul, make the bridge to spiritual liberation. So in other words, it's one of these things about you practice what you preach. You experience it. I've experienced it. You've experienced it. And that means other people can experience it because we're a guiding light. We can point the way to the place that we arrived at in terms of this royal highway, if you will, of the traveling in Sahaji in the inner planes. And it's an inner teaching made outer. That's why we talk about a practice, a very important practice, that looks like meditation, but it's really contemplation. Just like the Buddha and all the statues they see him cross-legged and sitting in meditation, he's really sitting in contemplation, because meditation is just a derivative term of the word contemplation. It's like a misinterpretation or a very low derivative of the term contemplation. In other words, we're not concentrating or eliminating things from our inner self. We're allowing things and observing things that come into our sphere. We have an option to experience it whether we want to or not. I mean, it's not like we allow everything to just run our lives, but we have this ability not to be concerned about the visions that we have and these sorts of things, and we can discriminate between the dross and the ones that are uplifting. The uplifting and joyful experiences, the very good ones that we all have on the inner planes. So we do this daily contemplation, which is a 30-minute practice, and it's precisely done 30 minutes because that particular part we call the ancient science. It is a science of a practice, and that practice will allow one to have 24 hours of harmony in their life. So that 30 minutes of plugging into the universe, and nowadays we can use that analogy of our smartphones and all the electronics where you have to plug them into the wall to make them work, and that's, not to get into the electronic stuff, but it's kind of a good analogy that we do the same thing whilst we go into contemplation and we tune into the inner planes and we get that spiritual nectar that we call the Sarosha, and then we travel to the higher planes, and firstly the new person is attempting to gain that liberation on this fifth plane. And that sometimes takes a little while. Some people go very quickly. Some people can have instant enlightenment. But it varies in terms of the individual soul and their powers and their focus and concentration and all that stuff. See, but the idea in terms of the path, did you want to interject in there? I heard some.
No, not at all. Please go ahead.
Okay. Right, so the focus, the attention that we place upon the daily 30-minute contemplation allows us to move towards that enlightenment. Like I said, it can happen to somebody instantaneously, or it may take years to do that. It depends on the individual and their state of consciousness. That's individual, it's very unique, and we can't really say for sure. However, we give a general teaching, some fundamentals that has a track record over the course of millions of years that the Sarosha Masters have established, and that particular teaching is called Akatha, A-K-A-T-H-A. T-H is not pronounced as the tha in English, in the English versions. It's in higher Sanskrit, which is the word. It's a hard T, so it's pronounced Akatha. And we actually show that pronunciation on our website, akatha.com. So we will qualify these things and give definition where necessary for people's understanding. Therefore, when we give the basic fundamentals of the sound current, which is a high electrical pitch or ringing in the ear that one can hear on the inner planes, one can hear this high electrical sound. That is the essence of soul. This is very important for people to hear what I have to say presently, is the idea that at the essence of what we are, the source of what we are, is an individual sound current that is a part of the supreme deity. It's the same idea that as the original question you asked, is a living Sarosha Master being that first representative and first teacher, if you will, called the Vaheguru, to find that ready soul and allow them to hear the purport, they hear it, and they make that connection, they feel the vibration, they hear the voice of the living Sarosha Master that's connected to the supreme deity we call the Akshar, and then they make connection and then travel on the inner in Sahaji to travel that pathway to the fifth dimension. So there's an actual movement that's necessary. In other words, when they teach meditation or introspective prayer, you're just sitting there and gaining things coming to you, but you have to really go on the inside and move towards the higher levels of consciousness. That's pretty much forgotten in terms of what, when we talk about Sahaji being the movement of the inner self, spirit travel, or the journey through the inner planes. Because they say a lot of the philosophers and the New Age people we'll talk about life being a journey, right? Well, okay, but you're wandering around the physical plane doing what? You know, wasting your time for 3 score and 10 and you hit the pine box. Well, that's really nothing ultimately. I mean, that's a trap in the lower worlds that the teachings will try to control individuals. And then what happens is they lose their way and then they have to be come in another lifetime and be reincarnated. We eliminate that cycle. Akatha eliminates reincarnation to be forced into it and gives one the choice of being reincarnated after they become a second initiate. All right, so maybe you can take us to a contemplation, Leslie. I think I gave most of the fundamentals in terms of the goals and the lower planes and the traveling of spirit and contemplation. So you can add anything you like there, but if you take us through the contemplation,
sure.
That would be a lot of fun and very nice.
And I just like to repeat, you know, that the contemplation really is the core of the teachings. And while Shukadev Chiyoi says this is not a mandate, really for your unfoldment, if you're seriously interested in your unfoldment, you would want to do it on a daily basis, because that 30 minutes that you do on a daily basis covers a 24-hour period of balance and protection. So it is of the utmost importance. However, as Shukadev Chi said, it's not a mandate, but you will find that things will move along a lot more smoother for yourself if you are contemplating. When you're not contemplating, you open yourself up to attacks by the negative energy. So contemplation helps protect you from that. So I'm just going to bring you through a short version, a very brief version. We use the word Hu, which comes off the 10th plane, and Hu is actually another name for God, and it's a higher Sanskrit term, and the reason we use it is because of the extremely high vibrations. Now, when you use this term, Hu, you'll find that it does really eliminate any kind of negativity in the area, whether it's within you or without you. So that's why it's so important to use this. Of course, when someone enters the path, they will get their own mantras with each of the initiations that they receive at each level. But Hu is the best universal mantra to use, and it is at the highest coming from the 10th plane. So with that, if we're sitting down doing contemplation, we're going to have our feet flat on the floor, if you're comfortable doing so, you can put them in a tailor fashion, lotus position. Excuse me, I apologize for that. And we'll close our eyes and gently put our attention on the crown chakra, which is the highest of the chakras, is the center of our, on the top of our head where the soul comes in as a baby. So it's a very important to use that. You can also use the Tisra Til, the third eye, it's also known as. You can use either of these, but those are the only two that we recommend using, because all the other chakras are really going to bring you to lower places within the inner planes. So we're closing our eyes, take a deep breath or two to relax, put our attention on either the Tisra Til or the crown chakra, and then we're going to chant the Hu, and you can follow along if you like. It sounds like this. Hu. Hu. Barak HaBashad, which means may the blessings be. Sri Kadashi, I know you've spoken already a lot about the contemplation. So with that, and maybe you would like to talk a little bit about the experiences that one has when they're on the path of Akita, if you wouldn't mind, unless there was another subject that you were thinking of talking about at this point.
No, that's fine. The idea of inner movement, people get greatly concerned, even a new person. But the easy part is that the easy way is when one closes their eyes, they are on the inner planes, because it's really the idea of having inner sight. And I often tell people that even in the physical life, the scientists and physicists and what have you, they put so much emphasis on the physical plane, but in reality, they're stuck on the mental plane because they're thinking so much. And very rarely do people concentrate on physical awareness around them. In other words, you can go to a museum, an artwork museum, and you'll find that people do not really observe the paintings that much. Sometimes when I go to them, I'll look at a painting and show people parts, things in the painting and images and what have you they didn't even notice because they're not paying attention. So the powers of observation physically helps your powers of observation on the inner planes, ironically. See what I mean? So in other words, we don't have pure sight because we're thinking so much. We reflect as human beings. And we cogitate on the third plane mainly. The third plane is the causal plane, which is déjà vu, the past, present, and the future. So we're always dwelling mostly, or not always, but we're dwelling mostly on these past, present, and future images. So these are images and not the images of the physical. In other words, they're images on the inner that have been in part from the physical and various lower plane imagery. So the word imagery is very important because now that would be the stage of karma stuff, cause and effect. And then the question is there cause and effect in the higher planes, all right? It's of a different value in terms of it's not concrete. It's something that we could actually manifest in front of us. We have control of it. And if you saw a phenomenon, because there's different occurrences even in the fifth plane and higher, but they're not concrete. In other words, if I look in the direction, it exists, but then I look away, it's not there. So these things get to be somewhat esoteric, but the feeling and the vibrations are what we want to impart on these shows each week to get the basic fundamentals. The main thing that we want to emphasize in these beginning teachings is the sound current. If one can listen and find and hear their inner sound current, that's extremely important to them. There's a great joy and upliftment that sometimes they won't show necessarily, but the inner experience of ecstatic joy when one first hears their sound current is very important. Because I remember years ago, I did lots of meditation, and I was told about the sound current. When I heard that, that was just incredible. Words can't exist on how joyful it is to experience the sound current. So we emphasize that the inner electrical pitch, a high ringing in the ear, if you will. It comes in various tones. As Leslie said earlier, it's the sound. I think last week you had mentioned the sound of thunder is the thunder of the physical plane, which I've heard is a really powerful thundering sound, a really amazing, amazing sound. But these things are very uplifting to us because they're such a natural inborn state of the essence of what we are. It's a spark of the divinity. It's a spark of what we call the Akshar. Oh, and I wanted to add that Akata is not a religion, it's not a metaphysical teaching, it's not a New Age teaching cult or an occult, a philosophy, or any of those terms. We're not a New Age teaching. We don't do the New Age fairs. You won't find us at those festivals. We are independent of all those things because we consider ourselves very unique in terms of spiritual liberation. So we're not a part of that Buddhist movement, because it really is Buddhism, but they're in denial of that. But I'm not really here to compete with that, but just give accurate information. So we're actually appealing to that. The Ready Soul and this particular entity with the basic fundamentals each Saturday night that we're here to give this presentation, which is very important. It's very important to get the fundamentals because very few teachings will dwell upon the sound current and try to emphasize that. Some people, there's a lot of pros and cons on all. Sometimes people will say, well, I hear it so much, it's so strong, but then we give a perspective on what it is, then that actually goes into balance with people. When you don't know what something is, it can really control you or cause you harm sometimes because you don't have the knowledge. So what Akata does is brings the esoteric knowledge. It gives simple answers to people that really need them to find their way, and to the truth seeker who may be feverishly doing that. I know I was, and when I was 21 years old, I was feverishly seeking, reading voraciously and asking questions and collaring people and just one constant. And then when I read my teacher's book years ago, that really made the connection for me because he was a living spiritual master at the time, Paul Twitchell, who I still consider my mentoring guide to this day. He's been besmirched and stuff by this teaching that he presented years ago and by a lot of people. But that's typical when people leave, Leslie, and then it's easy to be a target when they can't respond to things when they pass away. He died in 1971. But anyway, so when I read that book, In My Soul, I'm Free, I was really caught up in the high heavens. I felt this tremendous vibration, and I always say in the vernacular, I thank my lucky stars for that, you know, in terms of that. So what's our timing? Like, I didn't look at my clock.
It's a little bit less than 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm out of gas. Yeah. I guess we can sing a few songs or do tap dance.
I would like to say something because I would like to mention when someone's doing contemplations or even during the dream state, when I was talking earlier about how powerful the hue is, the hue that we chanted during that brief exercise that we did, if someone is in an experience where a master, someone who says they're a master, is appearing before them, and they're not really confident that person is a master, there's a good way to test that, and that is by using the hue. You can chant it, you can say it. And if that is a negative entity masquerading as a master, then it will flee. It will totally disappear. So that is, the hue is such a powerful tool. And I want to say that to people because sometimes when people are first on the path, they're still having a lot of different experiences and running off their karma. And a lot of that karma is resolved in the dream state. So they may have some experiences that they deem as negative because they don't know how to challenge those experiences or test them.
Right.
So it's,
yeah,
I'm glad
you mentioned that. You and I had talked about that previous this week because since we don't really emphasize that spiritual challenge on the inner, that people need to learn about the hue so they can challenge their dream states. For instance, some people have had problems with me in the dreams. I said, well, what is it me? You didn't know the spiritual challenge. And I'm being candid about that because they have to know that their world is their world and they're creating it, and they need to learn about how to manipulate their inner communications and images and pictures. And it has nothing to do with somebody else, it's their own creation. So we do want to emphasize that, and thank you for bringing that up, because we put it into the entity, we put it into, we've addressed it orally, and we've stated these things that, and then you and I have also often said that if people do their contemplation, they can get through these things and not an issue. We found that people that have had troubles, that's why you is so profoundly mentioned earlier about the, I said that contemplation is not a mandate, but it's very important because people do have issues when they don't contemplate. Again, we can't mandate anything, and there are people that don't contemplate and still do well. So it's very individual. That's why it's very difficult for us sometimes to get through the thorny lower world path, but we've made it. You and I have made it, and we have 22 other masters, so we know people can get through it, but sometimes it's difficult. There's no guarantee once you get to the path, but if you contemplate, that should solidify. I should say should, because it's a maybe, could be. We use an adverb there. You can't make anything for certain, but a person that's truly dedicated and reads the works and reads it. We have an intro book that we highly recommend it, that one reads and gets the basic fundamentals. And so thank you, Leslie. I didn't mean to really interrupt you there when you were talking, but
no,
I...
No, not a problem. And just before we close here, I'd like to mention to people, please go to our website if you're interested in downloading any of the books for free, listening to any of the audios of Shrikaji. You can also go to the Blog Talk radio show. There are hundreds of archives that you can listen to because we've been doing this show for many years now. And so please feel free. And there's also an application on the website if you're interested, if you think you're ready to take that step towards your spiritual mastery. And I'd like to thank everyone for being with us tonight. It's always a great pleasure to do this show, and especially to have Shrikaji with us. Shrikaji, we've got about 30 seconds left, so I'd like to give you the opportunity to close for the evening as well.
Well, since you can't see me, the master will raise his right hand with the palm face out, and he says, I am always with you. May the blessings be Barakabashat.